next year, mm-hmm. And it's February, and I'm disappointed. I will tell everybody that I was 100% wrong.
Well, and if Tennessee's season goes that way, Jarrett's not going to be the quarterback the whole way through.
No.
We already know that Tennessee's coaching staff will make a change. They did it this past year.
Yeah, they're good at pulling the trigger, yeah.
And Tennessee made a change multiple times this past year with lesser options. And I say that because this upcoming year, Brian Maurer's going to be better than he was this past year, you would imagine, right?
Yep.
JT Shroud's going to be a better quarterback than he was this past season. And then Harrison Bailey is the most talented of them all, I would argue. So, and by the way, I'm making that as, I'm just naming the names. I don't know that they'll all be on the team. I would argue that they, or predict that they won't be. But the options this past season behind Jarrett Garantano should not be as good as what you will have this upcoming year.
Totally agree with that.
So if Jarrett struggles at times this year, I have no doubt that Jeremy Pruitt will make a change.
And I have contended this, that he won't have the opportunity to go as long to figure it out as what he did this past year because of that deep pool behind him that they can kind of plug and play. If it's not working with Jarrett, I don't think you get to the Florida game and then make a change.
Yeah, maybe not. That was actually pretty, I wouldn't have thought that it would happen that early. I mean, that was the middle of game four and only your second game against a quote Power Five team. BYU's independent, but you know.
Yeah.
So, he got 3.5 games, Jarrett did, and then he was no longer the guy.
Yeah. So the leash is going to be a lot shorter, but I also think that the potential for upside is there. It is definitely there for him.
Yeah, so you can see the video at the Vol_football Twitter account, but it's a 1:45 of Jarrett talking about this past season, the challenges he had to overcome, and his goals for this upcoming year. And he said his goals are to be a better leader and to help Tennessee win the SEC East, which you would imagine would be the case. But he talked about a lot more in that 2-minute stretch. And I don't know if we'll hear from him before spring practice. So there you have it.
What do you think after spring practice, like after the orange and white game? Mm-hmm. Well, one, give me a baseline for right now. What is the approval rating for Jarrett Garantano, and what is the highest potential approval rating after the orange and white game?
Yeah, that's a good question.
35%?
Yeah, it's President's Day. The approval rating for Jarrett Garantano right now. What'd you say, 35%?
Yeah.
I would think it's higher than that.
I would hope so. We just only, it's hard, and I give this caveat because we only hear from the naysayers. I don't really filter a lot of the people that are like, I'm so glad you're championing Jarrett Garantano. I believe in him. He's still the best option. Mm-hmm. We don't hear those people very often. It's more, you're an idiot. Why are you still behind this guy? So there is a weighted bias there.
Yeah, I think there are still a lot of people that look at the turnaround in the season and performances against Kentucky in the second half and Missouri going for more than 400 yards. Only two other quarterbacks in Tennessee have done it, and say, you know what, senior coming back, hearing him talk about how much he loves Tennessee, seeing the emotion after the Missouri game, and say, yeah, that's my guy. Not to say I don't want Harrison Bailey to get a real shot. I think you can approve of Jarrett Garantano as the starter while also saying, well, let's see what the freshman has, and if he's better, play him. So it can be a tricky conversation, but I would say it's 50 to 60.
Wow. I feel like that's high. I went low.
Because we're talking about Tennessee fans, right? So it's not like if we're bringing it back to the politics side, you're probably just often not going to approve of the guy in the other party, right?
But
this is everybody from the same party. This is the Tennessee party. The Vols party.
Big Orange party. Yeah.
Am I seeing it wrong in that respect?
I think you're a little high.
Okay.
I admittedly went low because I thought you were going to go low. So I kind of set the table for you to say like 40 to 45%.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 50. And definitely not 60.
Well, if you just ask me what's the Twitter approval rating, well then... you can't have a Twitter approval rating over 20. So...
It's just impossible. Yeah, Twitter malfunctions. That's when they put you in Twitter jail like Jesse Smithy.
It doesn't exist. Joel?
Well, I don't know about the approval rating. Last weekend when Chad Simmons wrote that piece about how he believed Harrison Bailey could take Tennessee's starting job midseason, we threw out that poll on Twitter. When will Harrison Bailey start for the Vols? 17% said the season opener. 51% said midseason. 32% said 2021.
Okay.
So there still seems to be a fair amount of confidence in Jarrett Garantano heading into the season.
Well, what was your second option, though? You said 50% said?
Midseason.
Midseason. That's no confidence in Jarrett Garantano. That's what that says to me.
It's not a lot.
That's not a lot, yeah. So that would say more towards my camp, where he only has like a 35.
Maybe so.
Maybe slightly above that. I'll say, honestly, I would say the max I would give it would be 45%.
That's the max? No 50? Okay. Me.
Which I agree is dumb. I think it's crazy. Because I'm 90% with the guy, okay?
It's been a weird, complicated year.
Yeah.
In the Tennessee universe with Jarrett Garantano and the fans.
And he has a complicated relationship with the fans.
Yep.
And which is crazy because he has a great relationship with his teammates. I mean, all the comments that we've heard from all the former players that were playing with him, I mean, they love the guy. They like him. They think he's...
Yeah, that's still the funniest thing is while fans who love Juwan more than anybody were complaining about Jarrett, Juwan was going to Jeremy Pruitt saying, Jarrett's our guy. We'll come back, 656-9900. We'll spend a few more minutes on this. Tennessee, Jarrett Garantano, 2020. More college hoops. We're with you until 3 o'clock. Looking back at the weekend, looking ahead of everything going on in the sports world, 656-9900 to join us on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, a lot of David Palmer love, by the way, from 24 in our fake president conversation.
I mentioned his name in our pre-show meeting. He was huge. I liked 24 for the first couple of years, and then I was in college at the time, or maybe right out of college, so my schedule was not.
Mm-hmm.
Right now would honestly be the time where I could get into a series, even though I don't watch a ton of television. Because I have more of a, okay, when the kids go to bed, I can do this, this, and this. But there's nothing on that I, now that Game of Thrones is off, that I am committed to.
Yeah, 24 is probably one of my big misses. Liked Homeland a lot. You liked Homeland.
Loved Homeland. Do you know
new season just started, right?
Season 8?
Final season.
Yeah, they should have quit after 2. Would have been one of the best shows in history. They would have quit after 2.
You think so?
Yep.
So anyway, David Palmer getting a...
You just skated right over that. You agree with that? Season 3 was just so bad. Well, or they should have pivoted.
I thought it had a good comeback. One of the best ever, I wouldn't go that far. It was one of the best of the decade, probably.
Those first two seasons?
I know. I watched. I was
they
a fan.
Were so intense. Yeah, you got me hooked on it.
It was appointment television.
It was, yeah. Totally. They blew it.
So,
is Quinn still on there?
Well, I don't want to spoil it for the...
you don't.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you still watch?
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. No, he dies. All right, so you have that.
So Carrie the wild card is still alive, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I probably don't need to be giving countdowns for Peter Quinn 5 years after the fact on Homeland. Anyway, did it. So you get yelled at about anything. So just final thoughts on the Jarrett Garantano approval rating. I also don't know that you can accurately... gauge what it really is. You may be right. I might be right. People are probably going to vote on you being right. You said what, 35%? But it was a weird year. I don't have to explain the Jarrett Garantano dynamic. But a few things are without debate. I don't think. One, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Tennessee's coaches really wanted him to return. Three, he is easily the most experienced and has the most production of any of the quarterbacks on Tennessee's football team. Those are runaways.
There's also metrics out there about how valuable a fifth-year senior quarterback is. I mean, it's just an asset. And for people to be so willy-nilly about it, and all the people that were like, I wish he was in the transfer portal, it just seems very short-sighted to me. And it's like, okay, you're throwing a fit like Gus would, who's 3.5, because he didn't get his way. He just wants his way. No matter if I'm telling him the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. So
yeah.
I just, at some point in time, people have to realize what an asset Garantano is. And if it turns out that that's not the case, or if his role changes, then I will completely concede that. But I just still think that, man, going into this season, if he's not on the team or if he's hurt, I'm more worried about some of those games like the South Carolina game that I think Tennessee has the upper hand in right now.
Yeah, and also it's not a straightforward conversation, because even while we talk about what Garantano has done to help Tennessee and the amount of experience he has, we've also seen him benched multiple times. Even after he regained his starting position at the end of the season, he was benched for a series in the bowl game. So even when things got better, it was not all rosy for Jerry Garantano. And a lot of the times when he was helping Tennessee, he was off the bench. He came in at halftime or at the start of the second half against Kentucky. He came in relief in a number of games there where he helped Tennessee, probably for a number of different reasons there. He had a broken hand for part of that, a broken bone in his hand. So just it
screws.
You're not going to find too many stories similar to what we've seen the last year with Jarrett Garantano at Tennessee.
I just hope for him and his family and for Vol Nation, because if we're talking about him in a loving and glowing manner this time next year, it will be because Tennessee did some really good things next season. So I want that for all of us who have a vested interest in that football program. But really, for him and his family to be able to go out on top and sort of totally transform the narrative in 12 months, which is what he would have done, I think that would be incredible. That's what sports, those are the cool things that come out of playing sports.
Now, if we reversed it to work in a little more Tennessee basketball before the segment ends, a disapproval rating for the charge call at the end of the South Carolina game is probably going to be very high among Tennessee fans. And the call in Knoxville went Tennessee's way with John Fulkerson on defense. On offense, though, the other way. Also, turnovers are bad. Tennessee had 20 of them against South Carolina, and that did not help. Rick Barnes talked about it after the game Saturday, the charge call on Fulkerson, the turnovers late in the game.
I thought it was a clean charge. I did think that. Only thing, he got called for a goaltend. I'm curious to see when I see it myself, which I thought was a big play at the time. I don't know if it was or it wasn't. From where I was, I wasn't sure about it. And that frustrated him because he John does a lot, but he gets banged around a lot. He does that, and he the travels. The travels is the ones he's got. When he holds the ball too long like that, he turns it over. But 20 turnovers, and again, I don't want to take anything away from South Carolina. We had a bunch of it. We just did ourselves that they had nothing to do with.
Rick Barnes on Saturday after the game, and today he again said, I had some other calls to probably look at. So that was Rick Barnes after the South Carolina game on Saturday.
Hear me out on this.
Okay.
This is going to sound a little kooky. If John Fulkerson's hair was shorter and didn't have as much movement in it, I think that is one of the reasons why he gets flagged so much. Because his hair, it's like a Pantene commercial. It's just like sleek and it's always flowing and stuff. So when he's driving and that hair starts moving, that indicates, there must have been a shift in contact. He must have contacted that guy. I really do think it plays a part in him getting calls against him. No.
I think you're right. It is kooky.
He did get a trim, a week or two ago? Week and a half ago?
Yeah, it's a little shorter, but it's still long. And it swings out there. People have said he looks a little spastic when he is playing, and I think that perpetuates that.
I'm never going to criticize any guy who decides I'm going to grow my hair, because there might be a day where that opportunity is no longer there.
Take full advantage.
Take advantage while you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I support it 100%.
I was not being unsupportive of his hair. I love his hair. He's got beautiful hair. I'm just saying, I think sometimes it brings attention in a way that looks like there's contact being made because of how it swings.
You're saying it kind of puts him in a hairy situation. Another half hour of Sports 180 to go. We have a midday Sports Minute coming up. We'll talk to Jeff Carr, head coach of the Knoxville Ice Bears. Exciting finish over the weekend as well. We'll talk about that next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thanks for being with us. Another half hour to go before Sports Talk will begin at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Next to Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg along with us as well. And we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline and welcome to the show Jeff Carr, head coach of the Knoxville Ice Bears. Jeff, we appreciate the time as always. Exciting weekend for you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us as always, guys. Yeah, what a weekend it was. We had our sellout capped off and haven't lost here in regulation in six games. So it all culminated in a sellout win in overtime with, I think, 20 seconds left or so. So it was just it was an awesome weekend, that's for sure.
Well, what happened? Where did the shift come from a couple of weeks ago? You're on here recapping how, man, we just can't get it done at home in front of our fans, to where we're at now this week.
Yeah, I think injuries started, right? So a couple guys were banged up, David Brancic and Jason Price, and not a lot of people were known 3 weeks ago. And when their health came back, and then those two trades, so we had lefty-righties, basically even pairs across on the back end. So it just stabilized that. Our goalies have been playing well, and our edge and our toughness has found kind of the level that it did at the beginning of the year, especially on the road. And I feel like everyone's just playing more simple and more identifiable to the role, and we talk about that all the time. But when guys buy in, it's a beautiful thing, is the process, and you just keep sticking to it, and you see the results at the end.
Take us through that game-winning goal in the overtime game on Saturday. You fans get very antsy when a team is on the power play. You've got less than 30 seconds left, and you've got Scott Cuthrell and Jason Price kind of passing the puck around the perimeter and nobody shooting. And then suddenly everything opens up for Petrantonio right in front of the crease. Just take us through what you were seeing from your perspective there on the bench for that.
I don't think I could say it any better. You just literally said it, Joel, like 100%. We had two guys up top, and I cannot stand on 4-on-3 or 5-on-3 when there's very few and there's 8 guys on the ice or less. You shouldn't just be shooting to shoot. You should be making the defense sit there and burn and feel like they have absolutely no option to lunge and go out of position, and that's when you capitalize. So it's been a frustration of me. I watch even the NHL. It blows my mind that guys, they don't creep in and sit and wait and wait, and open ice will open up. So they did that to absolute perfection, and then Josh obviously caught a pass off of his left foot and kicked it up to his, his stick and put it in. So it was a perfect power play goal, and, you know, a lot of people think I should have probably put a different guy out or maybe Bombardier or something with, but Petro's a true net front guy, and again, everyone just did kind of their job on that play, and it resonated.
We're talking to Knoxville Ice Bears coach Jeff Carr here on Sports 180. Why do you think it's maybe tougher for people to have a better understanding or seeing how you do in terms of how to attack with a power play?
Well, it's just, you know, if you're a fan, you want to see shots and you want to see action, but that's not, timing is so key, especially even in hockey, and it's from a standstill. But I think as players mature and grow, and the older they get and the more that they're in their role, they understand the benefit of patience when you're on the power play like that. But, you know, there's a time and place for it. But on that play, when it's 4-on-3 and there's 7 guys on the ice, you can't rush things. Because if we would have rushed a shot and it went to the corner and they sent it down the ice, then now you have a decision. Do you need to make a change? You know, what's your breakout on that? All those things. So I wanted simplicity, and I wanted us to burn as much time as we could until someone lunged out of position. It worked out great.
Jeff, one thing we always talk about you, and I think you've got a nice grasp on this, is always keeping your eyes open on who's available for possible trades or bringing in new players. How are you feeling about your roster right now, and could there be any, maybe even like college players coming to the Ice Bears on the horizon?
Yeah, well, I like where our roster's at. It's hard when you're 5-0-1, but at the same time, things get stale, things get... whatever you want to say, you never just feel like you're comfortable. The day you feel comfortable, especially as a coach, you're not going to be in this business long. So I have faith in this group, but at the same time, there's guys going to be fighting for jobs on the line. And I still don't like our board battle play. I don't like our work ethic play from just some things on the face off and some intensity. So I like what we're doing as a team, and I like individually our roles, but the grit factor and that type of feel, it still needs to be ramped up a little bit. And there's 300 college guys dying to do it, as you guys saw with the Madrys, the Muellers, the Clarys of the world. They'll do anything to wear that jersey. So it's a good reminder for our guys. But at this point, we want to keep a good thing going.
Coach, you kind of look at the standings. Your team has played more games than anybody else in the league. There are some teams that have 6 games in hand over you. What's the feeling like when you're looking back at the standings right now? You're in third place, and there are a lot of other teams that still have more games, more opportunities to kind of catch up to you in the standings.
Well, we talk about controlling the controllable, so it's something I can't control at this point in the schedule, and there's nothing we can do about it. We're just going to keep focusing on us. I feel like when we focus on other things, that's when we get too big of a horizon and spread ourselves thin. So we'll just keep dialing into what we can do. And, you know, maybe when they catch up in a month, I'll look at the standings board for the first time this year. But until then, we have so much work to do and continue on doing. So it is what it is. Like I said, when they catch up, we'll take a look at it at that point.
Jeff Carr with the Knoxville Ice Bears. How important is it to you to not get too high when things are going well, too low when things are not going well, and you need to make some changes?
Well, they're huge. And as you guys see with our, we're not a college, it's pro, and there's so many ins and outs of roster management and how guys are feeling and where their confidence is, that just like the overtime play, just like special teams, just like the trade, if Spencer, our assistant coach, myself, don't have a pulse on these things 24/7, you're going to just let things slip by, and then that's how seasons go by and excuses happen. So we're from an unbelievable sports town here with Knoxville and people in East Tennessee of how hard they work and support all the sports. It's like a religion down here that, you know, very few of those people have excuses at their job. So, you know, we get to live our dream and do the things we're doing. So especially these guys, they're so privileged with the organization that we have and the fan base we have. So we just got to stay the course. Like you guys said, not too high, not too low, and good things will keep happening.
Well, before we talk to you again, you are going to go on the road a couple of times. Just what's the message this week in staying focused and then also having a nice home game coming up this weekend?
Well, we're playing Evansville, who's given the whole league fits, and I think they're 5-0-2 or something against Peoria. So they can ramp it up against the best. If we're going on big ice, we have to limit our turnovers and then go play a different style hockey game up there. We have to be extra physical. We have to be defensive aware because that team can score. And then we, you know, make the quick trip back, which is about a 10-hour round trip up to Evansville. Not much rest and playing on a Saturday against Fayetteville, who's had the best of us most of this year, late in games and one-goal games. So we're going to be extra physical. And if you want to see a violent game on Saturday, probably the most storm of the year, I'd say go out to that one.
There you
Ooh,
go.
I
think that'll be inviting to fans. I think that's something they're typically looking for.
Yeah, it won't be an option. So you talk about trades and cuts. So if we don't, there'll be a lot of missing people from our room, if not, because that's the way you attack that team. They've had it easy all year because team wants to match skill for skill. You can't. They have 5 or 6 unbelievable college Division I guys that will outskill us all day. But if you outwork them, you get them emotional and you fight shift after shift, they're going to wear down. We'll be fine on Saturday.
KnoxvilleIceBears.com is the website to find information on what's going on with the team. You can call if you need ticket information, whatever the case might be. 525-7825 is the phone number. That's 865-525-7825. KnoxvilleIceBears.com. Jeff, good luck with everything coming up. We appreciate the time, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
Jeff Carr, head coach of the Knoxville Ice Bears, on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline.
It sounds, by the way Coach Carr talks about it, like it's getting serious. Things are getting serious.
Yeah, I think so.
Guaranteed violence this weekend. I like it.
Yeah.
It's right in my wheelhouse.
Not in mine. I would be bowing out, as you could probably guess. Yeah. Spectating, perfectly fine with
it. Well, of course. Yeah, that's all we're talking about here. I like my teeth.
Sure. No doubt. So good stuff coming up, and we appreciate Jeff Carr, as always, joining us from the Knoxville Ice Bears.
Yeah, and you know what? We've got something in store for listeners this hour, as Jason Aldean is bringing back the We Back Tour to Thompson Bowling Arena this Saturday. It's coming up February 22nd. Special guests Morgan Wallen and Riley Green. Tickets are on sale right now, but we're giving a pair of tickets away as we speak.
656-WINS is the phone number. 656-9467. Caller number 3, Joel Silverberg, is standing by. Caller number 3 wins a pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean this weekend, Thompson Bowling Arena, where you can find him. And if you're looking for tickets, KnoxvilleTickets.com/Aldean. A-L-D-E-A-N. You know Jason Aldean. KnoxvilleTickets.com/Aldean. We'll come back for a final segment of Sports 180 with the Power Pole driven by Ted Russell Ford. Sports Talk at 3 o'clock on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Final segment here. Load it up. We're going to have another winner in just a moment. We'll label the winners and losers out of the weekend with the Power Poll, plus a pop-up fact for you, as there's been a lot to discuss, always is on a Monday coming out of the weekend, but big picture stuff from the weekend itself, fake presidents on President's Day with TV and movies. People have opinions on it, so it's been fun today.
Yeah, you went with Bill Pullman from Independence Day, correct?
That's right.
And I went with Harrison Ford from Air Force One, with a shout-out to Andrew Shepard, because I love The American President. I think that is just one of my favorite movies.
Presidents from West Wing in 24, I think, getting a lot of love from the people.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because you talk about two just major hit shows. Massive. Unfortunately, I missed the wheelhouse. I watched a little bit of 24 and it was fantastic, and I'm pretty sure they almost killed the president several times, because when I was watching, he had some sort of infectious disease that was eating away at his hand, I think, so that was not good. But maybe he survived, for all those people that are still watching out there.
Well, you want to avoid it, those issues for sure.
Never good to come into contact with a flesh-eating bacteria.
Yep. So we've got that as well. And also, we have a qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. We don't have a qualifier. Actually, we need one. So 656-WINS is the phone number. Caller number one to 656-WINS, 656-9467. Your chance to win a couple of tickets for the men's tournament in Nashville coming up in March, just a few weeks away, as well as $500 spending cash. 656-WINS, first caller, is our latest qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship.
All right, good luck to those guys. And I will tell you this, for the Jason Aldean tickets, if you win, it will be given away all week long. You have to pick them up by 5:30 on Friday when our offices open back up.
Yeah, good stuff.
So everybody's off today, celebrating the presidents. I like this. Are kids in school, or do they have the day off too? Because my biggest contention is, why put that burden on parents now that I have a child and, you know, two children, and have to, you know, come up with alternative plans if they're not in school? Like, leave them in school and let them learn about the presidents.
It is an in-service day today.
Yeah. Yeah. Let the kids go to school on MLK Day, on Columbus Day, on President's Day, and actually learn about that piece of history. Maybe have a party. Bring in pizza for lunch, something. Don't make parents on a Monday have to figure out what they're going to do with their kids.
Didn't you just say everybody's off?
What do you mean? No, not everybody's off.
Well, I think you just said, though, everybody's off today.
In our building, yeah.
Oh, you just made
it. Yeah, I'm in our building, yeah. But it's really only banks and government officials. I think there's a lot of people working today.
There are. I honestly, I don't know everybody's company holiday schedule. It is a company holiday for Cumulus, except for us. We're here to entertain you.
Yeah.
Or try to.
Yeah.
Or inform you. Let's hit today's pop-up fact.
It's time for today's Sports 180 pop-up fact of the day. A quick look at a did-you-know factoid.
Joel, yes or no? The St. Louis Blues are a popular hockey team in St. Louis.
I would imagine the answer is yes.
Having just won the Stanley Cup, correct?
Correct.
So this to me is something. I see here from yesterday, the Battlehawks of the XFL and the Blues of the NHL were both in action. The hockey game had a 3.1 rating in St. Louis. The football game had a 6.0 rating, almost double the rating for the XFL Battlehawks versus the St. Louis Blues, defending Stanley Cup champs. Both games on cable.
Both were on cable. That was going to be my question, is was there any sort of difference in the television channel that they were both on? But that answers that. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the update. Last week, the Battlehawks were close to a sellout for their home opener, which is this upcoming week.
Joel did chime in during the break when we found that little fact. They were only playing the Preds, so maybe that's why people were more in on the football. What happened to the Preds?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Goaltending's been bad, defense hasn't been great, guys have been injured.
A couple years ago, we're all headed down to Market Square to watch them play for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Now they're on the brink of missing the postseason.
Mm. So a couple things happened today. Joel went super negative and offensive on his team. Heather went super defensive for the Houston Astros.
You said you felt sorry for the Houston Astros, is what you said earlier.
I should have. Let me rephrase. Nope. I feel sorry for the fans.
Okay.
That's who I feel sorry for.
That is different. John Wilkerson, the quote earlier in the afternoon was, I feel bad for the Astros.
At this point in time, I was just feeling bad. Man, you talk about piling on. It's a big pile right now down in Houston.
It is Sports 180.
There you go.
That's right. So,
I'm a roller coaster.
Some opinions
of emotions
are a little more popular than others.
opposite sides of them are all that fence popular. I will say that.
I don't think that one was popular by anybody.
John, hello.
Hello.
Winning's popular. Tennessee's baseball team did that over the weekend.
They did a nice job of that. They said hello to the win column three times.
Nice.
And increasingly bigger. I mean, actually, the margin of victory was same on Saturday and Sunday, but still, 3 runs Friday, 19 on Saturday, and then 23 on Sunday. So it was the two biggest run-producing games for Tennessee with Tony Vitello as the head coach.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Obviously, Western Illinois will not be the measuring stick for this ball club, but it's a good start, and now they get ready for Charlotte tomorrow.
If Tennessee averages roughly 15 runs per game, I like their chances this year.
I do as well. You go back to last year when they had like 6 straight shutouts to open the season. If the other side doesn't score, your chances of winning go up appreciably.
Yeah, bold prediction. I don't think Tennessee will lose a game in which it doesn't give up a run this year.
I think you're right.
Let's hit the power pole.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power plant.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Pole, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
What was the John Derek Dooley went 2-7 in games that they lost in 2010? Because at one point they appeared to have victories against LSU in North Carolina.
Yeah, and he was something like 9-7 in post-game handshakes or something. It was just really ridiculous. It was just an odd time.
Fair to say. All right, the weekend is behind us. We have our top 5 winners and top 3 losers from the weekend. John, would you like to lead us off?
Yeah, I will go honorable mention Tennessee baseball just for the fact that they shut out their opponent their first 2 games. They swept the weekend, had a lot of fun doing it. So we'll put Tennessee in as honorable mention. Then number 5, I'm going Roughnecks and Defenders. I think everything points to the big Week 7 showdown when both will be completely undefeated. And, of course, the world will be watching in the XFL. Number 4.
Or at least St. Louis.
Yes, at least. number 4, Maryland in the Big Ten driver's seat. A lot of college hoops dominate my winner's poll.
Big win there, yeah.
Baylor, 22 straight wins, ties Kansas for the Big 12 record. Number 2, I'll go Kentucky. Woke up Saturday in a 3-way tie, went to sleep Saturday night all alone in first place. And number 1, I'll go NBA All-Star Weekend. Everything was just incredible in terms of the attention it drew, the tributes to Kobe and the others. Just so well done. Now we'll see whether or not they go through this madness of trying to adopt the All-Star game ending to regular season play. I'm throwing up a big don't.
Oh, I'm a huge fan, although not immediately. They're going to have to play this one in,
yes.
I would say.
And then honorable mention in terms of the losers, Tennessee hoops, both Vols and Lady Vols. Opportunities slipped through fingers. Mm-hmm. Lots of fingers, lots of opportunities. It was a bad weekend for both Big Orange ball clubs. Number 3, I'm going Matt McGloin. Guardians quarterback calls out the game plan at the half. What does he do? Comes right out, throws a pick 6. Well done, Matt McGloin.
To the bench, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Number 2, Aaron Gordon. Hook a man up with a dunk contest championship already, huh? The most perfect scores, never to win anything, so... So, poor guy. And then number 1, Daytona 500 fans.
Mm.
You
went
hoping to see America's greatest race, and then...
Not.
Yeah, got to see a lot of it. And the president. President was down there. There you go.
But updates on Sports Talk this afternoon.
That's right.
Heather Harrington, top 5 winners, top 3 losers from the weekend.
All right, my top 5 winners. I'm going to go with the Roughnecks. You know it. Undefeated. Man, looking at that championship trophy.
Who did they beat?
Oh, that was my number 3 loser, so just stay tuned.
They'd be a team that covered John Wilkerson.
Number 4 is going to be the Kentucky Wildcats because, like John said, Saturday when they were getting ready to tip off, they were in a tie. Now they're not. Number 3 is going to be Adam Scott, $1.7 million richer, winning Tigers Invitational. Pretty good. Number 2, Kawhi. First ever now winner of the Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP trophy. I think that's awesome, especially when you hear about their relationship and how close they actually were. And then number 1, just the NBA altogether. I thought it was a fantastic event. NBA purists love it. And so you hit a home run. Number 3, loser on the weekend is, of course, Josh's Battle Hawks.
But it was a moral victory. That's what Josh is saying.
Best fan base in the league.
You're right. They're there for him.
Yeah, huge support.
Huge.
Take that.
Number 2, I'm going to say this is a little bit of an asterisk because he did still win over $19,000. Tiger Woods finishing last in his tournament. At least he made the cut, I guess, but finishing last in your own tournament.
$19,000 for Tiger Woods?
That's what last played, $19,437. Right. That's more than we earned this week.
It is nice. I'm not sure that Tiger's going to notice $19,000 in or out with the overall grand scheme of the accounts.
You're probably right. Still hard for me to call him a loser, but he's number two. Yeah. And then number one, it's still the Astros. Just what a crap weekend for them. Man.
You know, I'd have the celebrities come in and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field. It's been like each day, it's a different headline. What celebrity or what great baseball players calling out the Astros for being the big cheaters that they are? Today it's Mike Trout. Mike Trout, seventh inning stretch. Yeah.
Big honking losers.
I have Adam Scott, number five. Really nice weekend for him. Here it is. Aaron Gordon is my dunk champ. So he gets number four.
Oh, wow.
On my Powerball.
You didn't even put him number one, so we lost again. That's terrible.
Well, I was filling slots, so there's your consolation. You may have not been given the trophy over the weekend, but you're my winner, so you get number
That's
four
right.
on the Powerball.
You're his number one at number four.
That's right. Because I've got Baylor number three. Baylor's still number one in the polls. Big game against Kansas. I've got a buddy that texted me this weekend that said, I'm with a bunch of friends. We're talking about Baylor. They said they haven't played anybody. No, Baylor hadn't played nobody. They won at Kansas earlier in the year, and they haven't lost since the first week of the season. Number two, the Roughnecks. Credit where credit's due. And then NBA fans. I thought NBA fans who got to enjoy all that this weekend. It was just a smashing success, as you guys noted as well. Number three, loser on the weekend, NASCAR. Number two, same spot as you, Matt McGloin. 4 years ago, he was starting in the AFC wildcard round for the Raiders. Now he's getting benched after calling out the game plan at halftime of the XFL game.
By Kevin Gilbride.
Chargers?
No, Buddy Ryan took the swing at him on the sideline.
Yeah. And hashtag sports. Yeah. And then number one, Major League Baseball and the Astros. You got to clean this thing up here, man. Come on. Is anybody giving you advice before you talk to people? Is anybody doing that? Costanza, the opposite. Just do that. The Power Poll is driven by Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive. Find them online, tedrussellford.net. Remember, they have the lifetime warranty for you on all brand new vehicles.
You got Gary Bettman sitting there saying, man, does that guy lost control of his league?
Colin Cowherd pointed that out earlier.
The NHL
too.
Commissioner
so
saying, whew, glad I'm not him.
Yeah, you think there's some commissioner group text where they're just all.
That's right.
I bet there would be a lot of expletives in there.
Yeah, some piece of metal. That's what you went with, Manfred?
Is Roger Goodell constantly the one throwing in the gifts of just all people laughing?
I think that's the move.
Yeah.
That's right. And also the one of Spanky from the Little Rascals just throwing the handfuls of money out the window because that's what the NFL can do.
Yeah. Handfuls of other stuff, too. John Wilkerson, what's coming up next on Sports Talk?
Well, we look forward to being joined by Dr. Jerry Punch. That'll be from 3:30 to 4:30. We will have comments from Rick Barnes as he met the media today. Also, post-game reaction from the loss at South Carolina. Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com will join us from 5 to 5:30. It's the first Monday after the start of the season, so Tony Vitello will join us now Mondays at 5:30 to talk about the weekend that was and the big week ahead. We'll have an Eric Kane practice report, comments from Kelly Harper, that and so much more today on Sports Talk.
It's coming up next. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow at noon on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.